Boker Tov, good morning. So today we're focusing on the topic of chevra, of society. And last time we spoke about it from a much more global perspective. And today we're going to think about it from really an individual, personal growth and self-identification process, which is going to be a paradox. So my hope is that even though these two perspectives that we're going to think about are in conflict, but my hope is that we will see that they're actually not in conflict, that they actually complement each other. And I'll tell you what I mean. So he says, Ravolbi says here in one line, and we're just going to take that as a point of departure, Lios bein chaverim asher she'ifa achas lahem, to be among friends that have a similar aspiration, chavaya achas mishal heves osam, that they have one experience that fires them up. That is a goal. On the third line, it says, Zui masas nafsho shel kol adam. That is an aspiration of every person. So I want to really think about this. Is it true that we want to be among like-minded people? And on some level, the answer is certainly yes. The idea that he says of ish Yisrael yazor, of people of a mutual aid society where people help each other, is often associated with people who identify with each other. And that's very reasonable. That's very much built in to the nature of how Hashem Yisbarach created people. The notion of lo tov heyosa adam levado, it's not good for a person to be alone. So Adam was created with Chava. So Rav Soloveitchik points out in an essay, it wasn't, at least in one perspective, it wasn't that he was creating the first marriage, it's that he was creating the first community. That Adam shouldn't be alone. And that there are manifold benefits of being together with others. And what we find often is that people self-select to be among like-minded people. And I think it's even self-affirming. It's not just very much what appeals to us, but it's because when we have a particular approach to something or a perspective on something and someone else shares that, so then that affirms our view. Now, I have a particular mishigas. Well, I have many mishigas. But let's say I have a particular way of thinking about something, and then I talk to somebody else and they share the same view, then I feel like, oh, I'm not just an outlier. I feel like somebody else has the same thing. And that is extremely constructive because it helps strengthen each individual. Dr. Belkovitz likes to talk about there's some research that they did, which I think is related to this, that they took someone, they put them at the base of a mountain, and they were asked to estimate the height of this mountain. Then they took the same person, or the equivalent person, next to the same mountain, and they put someone else next to them. So the same person, the same circumstance, they estimated the mountain was much shorter than it was when they were by themselves. Because when you face an obstacle, when you have someone else in it with you, so then you feel that it's much more achievable. So I think this is true in the same vein. And when we have people who are similar to us, we feel like we're in it together and that it reinforces our identity. But I think there's a balance to the opposite end, which on the one hand is in conflict with this, but I think it actually complements it. So I don't know too much about this because if I were to walk into the Kola one day and saw that somebody else was wearing the same tie that I was wearing, I'd be like, first of all, I probably wouldn't notice. But if I did notice, I'd be like, whatever. Like, would I actually... I probably wouldn't notice. But if I did notice, or if somebody else pointed it out to me, would I care that somebody else was wearing the same tie that I was wearing? No. Golly says no. I agree. But that I know people that if they go to an event and someone else is wearing the same dress that they're wearing, it's a big problem. Or at least it's enough to make a whole discussion out of it. Whether it's a problem, it's not a problem, you have to discuss. It's this big. So what's the story with that? Why is it not okay to wear the same sweater? And if it is okay, it's only because you have a teretz. It's okay because, right? You have to give an explanation why it is it's okay that, because there is the opposite. There is the push-pull here that says that, you know, I actually don't like being the same as the other person. I like being distinct. Whereas in the first case, I think we draw strength from the fact that we are similar, let's say, to another person. Because on a deep level, every person, all of our neshamas come from the same place. As the Bala Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes, that really we're just gufim mechulakim, separate physical entities, but really on the soul level, we're all the same. So we like it when we see somebody who, and we meet somebody, we talk to somebody who has a similar outlook on life that we do, we feel like, oh, that's reaching down to a place of shared soulness, so to speak. So we feel strengthened by that. But at the same time, there is this feeling of, you know, I don't want to just be the same as the other person, right? There's something about being different and distinct from that person that we like. It's not just that we like that, it's that we need that, right? If you only had the first approach, if you only took it at that simple level, then everybody would ideally look the same and be the same and need to have the same set of values. But is that really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? The fact that we bristle, or some of us bristle, at somebody else looking similar to us or reflecting something about us, that comes also, I think, from a deep place. Imagine if everybody had the exact same makeup. I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually. So then we would be very left out. We'd be lost from a perspective of totality. I'll give you an example. The Rambam says in the end of the Pirush Mishnayos, his commentary on the Mishnayos in Maseches Makos, that God created 613 mitzvahs for a reason. Why did he need to create 613 mitzvahs? And by the way, we all know there's a lot more than 613. He says, well, because everybody has their thing. A person's entry path to Olam Haba is one mitzvah. That's all you need, just one mitzvah. But that mitzvah has to be done with absolute and complete shlemus, with total wholeness. Every aspect of it has to be done with the perfect intention, with full focus, all in, full heart. And the Rambam says, look, people are different. So for one person, they mamish love the sukkah. They wait a whole year to build their sukkah, and they decorate their sukkah, and they stand at the door of the sukkah, and they just take it all in. And that's their thing. And then there are other people, they're like, sukkahs, okay, they'll do it. We'll all do it. But it's not their thing, right? There are some people who, Pesach is their thing. There are people like that. They love it. There are people like that. They get so excited about Pesach. What's that?
I said, once it's here, it's wonderful.
Yeah, okay.
It's the game.
Right? Everybody has their thing. There are some people for whom Chanukah, they wait. This is, so the Rambam is saying that the Ribbono Shel Olam made it that everybody should be different. And what comes out of that is that if one person, their thing is Shabbos candles, and another person, their thing is eating matzah, and another person, their thing is going to be about, you know, chesed, between everybody, you have everything. But if everybody was only the same, so then you couldn't emphasize all the different diversity. That's part of the reason why davening as part of a tzibur, as part of community, many explanations are that that is incredibly powerful. Because maybe I have a special merit that I was placed in the world that I am learning in a kolol, so I have a special merit of Talmud Torah. But then the next person who's sitting in the shul, they have tremendous merit of chesed. So if I were to daven on my own, maybe my merits wouldn't carry my tefillas, it wouldn't have the same effect as the person sitting next to me who is the Baal Chesed, or as the person, you know, fill in the blank of all the other things that people are doing. But when you come together as a tzibur, you leverage all the strengths of all those individual people. And that's lechatchila. So on the one hand, these are conflicting ideas, but I think they really are complementary ideas. And we see it all the time. You know, sometimes you can have, you know, people who are, especially take a community like ours, there are lots of different projects, important projects. And different people are motivated by different projects. So recently in Shul, there was a Shabbos that was supporting Hatzalah. So there are people in the community that's their thing. Hatzalah is their thing. And then a couple of weeks before that, there was a discussion about supporting the mikvaos in the community. And there are people who, that's their thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, Hatzalah, that's not my thing. It's not my thing. It's your thing, gesunte hate. And sometimes it even gets us annoyed when somebody comes to us and they're like, you don't understand. The biggest thing, I'm telling you, the most important thing is, and then they tell you what it is, and you tell them, you're thinking in your mind, you're like, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, it's the biggest thing to you. It's not for me, right? It's not for me. But for you it is. And that's not a chisaron, that's the thing. Because our feeling is like, well, that's so weird that person, you know, they're promoting their shul. What about, you know, the kid, the guy who's going to school? Everything is about... But the answer is, it's all good. And that what we have to recognize is that the approach of every individual person, when you take it in its entirety, is good. Because that creates the shlemus. If you have a community where nobody cared about the mikveh, and everyone only cared about a kolo, we would have a problem. But if you have a community where everyone only cares about the mikveh and nobody cares about the shul, nobody's going to volunteer for the school, for the PTA, for the kolel, for the summer, for whatever it is, so then you also have, it's very unbalanced. So on the one hand, what we're saying, what Rav Volbi is saying is, it's good for us in life, in our Avodas Hashem, to be among like-minded people. Because it does give us strength in the project that we're doing, in our process of growth, in our Avodas Hashem. Imagine if in this room only one person came to learn. So that person might feel like, first of all, it's awkward. You know, a whole shiur, a whole room, only one person. But also the person would be like, wow, this is kind of isolated. But when you have a whole room of people, everybody feels like, yeah, we're all in it together. It's the norm. It becomes accepted. If everybody does chesed, so then nobody feels isolated. Nobody feels alone. So it's very important that we create a culture where there's this, what he calls the she'ifa achas. There's this unified goal where everybody's on the same page, where it becomes accepted. This is the standards of our community. This is what we expect from people. But at the same time, that can't come at the expense of saying it's also important for people to be different. And that means that people have different priorities. You see that some people, they're very charged up about Israel. You talk to them and you hear, like, that's... You know, they're going on missions and they're raising funds and they're involved in the JNF and whatever their particular project is. So that's very important. That doesn't mean that it has to be my project, but it also, it's not so sir, it doesn't dispute what we're saying on the first point. Because as part of a whole group, now we have a lot of priorities. Now we've built something bigger because we are taking care of all these different things. So that's point number one. Any questions, comments, or observations on this? I don't think it's a contradiction. It's just the two different aspects. Okay, so let's go to the second paragraph. He's talking about a yeshiva, but we're going to apply it to us. Amok balibo, deep in a person's heart. Gama nichnas li yeshiva mechaka lechavaya chevratit me'enzo. A person, he's talking about a young man who goes into a yeshiva, anticipates and is looking for a chavaya chevratit, a communal or social experience, me'ein zu. Isn't this what we try to create in our own communities? We're trying to create a chavaya chevratit. Right? It's not enough that a person should pursue their own avodas Hashem. We try to create, and that's part of the reason that the Beis HaKnesses is called a Beis HaKnesses. It's not called a Beis Tefillah. It could be called a Beis Tefillah. What does the word Knesses mean? Likanes, or actually in this case it means Lichnos, means to bring people together. We go to shul, well, we go to shul for multiple reasons. But a big reason that we go to shul is because we want to create a chavaya chevratit, and a religious experience which is communal, right? You could take a person, you could send them on a trip to Israel by themselves. It would be nice, wouldn't it? But it's not the same when you create a chaya chevratit. When you take a group of women to Israel, it's a qualitatively different experience. Why? Because it is in a chevra, because it's in a group. So he says, we're all looking for that. Imki she'ifaso ha'ikaris hi makifa v'na'ala mizu v'sha she'ifa ha'ikaris lios lamden v'yirei shamayim machricha lich'ora rak ligdog l'chavrusa tovo m'madze roa halomid b'ikaris kochos atzma she'alea l'fateach. He says, wait a second. Within this context, there is a tension between our immediate goal and the larger goal. And I think a lot of us, we relate to this, it resonates with us, because we, during different times in our lives, we either have struggled with this, or we go back and forth in where we're going to emphasize. Because he says, wait a second, on an individual level, you have your thing, you have your project, or your issue that you're dealing with. And so that is what is preoccupying you the most. It's the most immediate focus. And at the same time, there is this deeper recognition, this deeper feeling that you want to be part of a greater whole. So for example, if a person is dealing with a situation of, you know, of gemilas chasadim, of helping someone, and they know that there's a friend of theirs or somebody in the community who really needs help. Maybe they lost a close relative, or they are in a particular predicament where they're feeling down and they're isolated. So the most immediate focus is going to be on that person. And that is going to be what's going to be taking up their time and energy. And so that's not relating to the chavaya chevratit. That's not a social. Everybody's not talking about. Not everybody's thinking about this particular issue, right? If a person has a child or a parent that needs specific attention in our avodas Hashem, whether it's the mitzvah of chinuch or the mitzvah of kibra ve'im, whatever that's going to be, that's a very particular mitzvah. And so at this stage in life, I feel like I have to be all in, which is good. And that can't translate into a chavaya chevratit easily. But it's still what Rav Volbi, I think, is pointing out, and if he's not pointing it out, perhaps we can suggest it. It still needs to be in the context of a chavaya chevratit. Meaning, isn't it powerful? Imagine so many of us, you know, we're involved in different things, in different chasadim, in different davening or tehillim or whatever. Isn't it powerful when you can take a personal issue and make it a chavaya chevratit? Meaning, not to divulge a confidence, but, you know, if someone is making a shul function, a shul lunch, or something like that. So that is a very particular thing. That's your project. That's what you're working on right now. But if you share that with people in your circle, then it becomes a spiritual experience for everybody. Because it says to everybody else, oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that so-and-so is involved in that. You know, that strengthens the framework, the whole misgeret of this chavaya chevratit, so that even though my personal particular component of it is in a narrow place, but it's part of a general framework. So in his example, it might be, I'm looking for a chavrusa, I go to a yeshiva, I'm looking for a chavrusa in Gemara. Well, then you're not going to talk to the boys who are looking for a chavrusa in Tanakh. But what happens when you put one Gemara chavrusa in a base medrash, next to a Tanakh chavrusa, next to a chavrusa that's learning halacha, and everybody's learning in a base medrash, and they're all learning? So how does that, I don't know how many people I've ever witnessed such a, right? The hullabaloo. Have you ever seen what's going on over there? In the Beis Medrash, we have 500 people all yelling at each other. It's amazing. But they're not even learning the same Masechta. They're not learning the same tractate. But it becomes a chavaya chevratit. So I wonder if that's how we can translate this into our own lives. Everybody's got to do their thing. And at different times in our life, we're working on different things and we're dealing with different things. But if it becomes a culture of we're growing, we're working on something, so then that does have a communal experience. If everybody knows that in our community, people are involved in chesed. So it might be that today you're involved in the chesed and tomorrow somebody else is, but you've created that misgaret. If everybody knows that in the community, people go and learn, or they daven, or they say tehillim, you know, whatever it is, but if it becomes part of the conversation, and I wonder, and this is where I'll leave us as a food for thought, is how do we practically create that? Because it's a challenging thing. You know, I'm working on a particular inyan, on one particular focus. Let's say I'm working on davening or on saying tehillim. So how do I don't know, I'm curious if anybody has any thoughts or suggestions. How do I take my, this avoda pratis, my particular interest at the moment, my focus, and make that as part of a general context? Because when I do that, I actually may find out that I'm being reinforced. Because somebody else will say, oh, that's amazing that you're doing that. I'm not doing that. You're working on, you're saying Tehillim. I'm actually learning Mishnayos. I have a good friend who someone passed away in their family, so I'm learning Mishnayos for them. Or I committed to doing one act of chesed. Or I started learning, you know, two halachas of the Chavetz Chaim and the Shemiras Halacha. I'm learning two halachas every day. And you should know that last week, for the first time in my life, I almost said Lashon Hara, and then I didn't say it. So it's an interesting thing to think about, how to maintain that balance of pursuing our individual things that we're working on, that chesed, that Torah, maybe it's avoda and midos, and sharing that in concentric circles. So I would think that probably the first step is identifying those circles. So for some of us, it might be a close family member. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a parent, and making that part of the conversation. And then maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's at a Shabbos meal. It's an awkward conversation, I think, to start, because nobody wants to be at Shabbos lunch and be like, the chant is really good, and you should know, now I say Tehillim every day in the morning. Like, it's not, at least, I haven't tried it, and I think I would get a kick under the table if I tried to do that. But I think there are ways, but it comes from the consciousness of the impact of the chevra. That's what Rav Volpe is trying to say, is that being part of a social group is very important in Avodas Hashem. It's nuanced. It's the idea that identifying with others who have like-minded spiritual interests is important. It's balancing that with the particular aspect of my unique Avodas Hashem, which is distinct from somebody else's, but I recognize that it fills into the greater picture. And then this particular question of how to navigate what makes something a personal experience versus what makes it part of the communal experience. Sometimes, I think today, I suspect, although because I'm not on social media, I don't see this so much, but I hear about, at least on the radio, I hear about oversharing. You know, that's the opposite extreme, where somebody is having a personal experience. It's not necessarily Avodas Hashem, but I heard a lot of rabbis who were grumbling and outraged and very upset because recently there was someone who took a selfie of themselves in their yichud room. I don't know if it was the husband or the wife, and shared it on social media. So that's probably a little bit of oversharing. But that is a reflection of this question of how do you balance, right? The first concern that we had was, well, you know,
I'm still on.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I haven't seen this, but I've heard multiple Rabbanim who are complaining about this in the rabbi circles. That's what people are talking about. But so this is the opposite problem, right? The first challenge was, how do we share about what we're growing in our Avodas Hashem without it being awkward and inappropriate? But the opposite problem is also true, is if a person is constantly oversharing about their Avodas Hashem and their growth, then they have destroyed their privacy and their identity. So I don't have a good solution because I don't know so much about anything, but I'm just saying that it's an important thing to think about. And as we go through our life, we're balancing this. What is it about us that is an inyan prati, that's personal, that it's nobody else's business? You know, maybe it's my close friend's business, but maybe it's not my whole shul's business. And then what are the things that I'm doing that it is important that other people know about and they're included in, so that we can reinforce this idea that there is shi'ifa achas, that there is this one aspiration as a community that we all have. So defining that community is important, and then figuring out how to share the experience with other people is important. So if anybody has any good suggestions, I'm all ears.